You are listening to a Student Radio Association podcast.
Hi, we are Slaves.
And you're listening to
our Student Radio
Takeover.
From Expression FM, and we're in the studio with Slaves for the SRA Takeover show. Thanks for joining us today, guys.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
The guys are going to be playing us some tracks that they've handpicked themselves and answering some of our questions. We'll be learning about the early days of Slaves right through to their current UK tour, which sees them play to their biggest audiences yet. It's going to be an amazing show, so let's get going. So the first track is a song that inspired you guys to pick up your instruments. So talk us through your choice with this one.
We love Crass.
Yeah, and it was kind of more of inspired me to do Slaves. I already played guitar, but when I read the question, I thought I want to play people music that I think is important they hear. And this song's just, yeah, passion in abundance.
Mm. And what would you say your main musical influences are?
The world. The world, yeah, but musically.
Eminem.
Yeah, and a lot of, like, garage punk, I guess. That
the Cramps
was early on. Yeah, it comes from everywhere, I think. All genres.
And just wanting to play guitar really loud.
Mm. So would you say, like you said, you draw from the world? Do you draw more than that, more from that than from music itself?
I don't know. I think everything I do is interlinked. I make a lot of art, and Isaac writes, and I just think you're inspired. When you're an artist, your inspiration comes from everywhere, so it's hard to just narrow it down.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And how did you guys start performing together? How did you become Slaves?
From playing in bands, separate bands that crossed paths, and then, yeah, kind of became friends and started playing together, and then broke off and started doing this.
Simple as that.
Simple.
Yeah.
And did you ever consider it being more than just the two of you, or was that always what you envisioned Slaves to be?
No, everything we've done has been a happy accident, hasn't it?
Pretty much, yeah. We wanted to start a full band, but no one was up for it, really.
People aren't really into punk, to be honest. Like, and when we were like, we're starting a punk band, everyone was like, nah, like, I'm going to stick to my dubstep producing or my jazz folk stuff, so it's quite hard to find people that were into it.
Mm. Mm, I guess you guys are really the only ones out there doing what you're doing.
Well, there's definitely other people, but I'd say I reckon we could narrow it down to one of the only punk bands from Maidstone and Tunbridge Wells.
Yeah.
So do you guys want to introduce this song?
White Punks on Hope, Crass.
They said that we were trash. Well, the name is Crash, not Clash. They can stuff their punk credentials. It's them that take the cash. They won't charge enough for their fashionable talk. RAR badges in their protest wall. Fans of white men standing in a park. Objected to racism, to can in the dark. Black man's got his problems, he's right to deal with it. Tonight, pull yourself real with your white liberal sh**. If you care to take a close look at the way things really stand, you'll see we're all just to the rulers of this land. Punk was once an answer to 2 years of crap. A way of saying no, we'd always said yep. The moment we saw, a way to be free. They invented a dividing line through credibility. The qualifying factors of politics and class. Lefty match our team fighters with his cars. I said for the racism, I came on the street. It was down to form and fashion for the socialist elite. Bigotry and blindness, a Marxist god. Another clever trick to keep us all in line. Three little labels to keep us all about. Keep us all divided when the troubles start. Upon a vicious mind of violence that offers nothing new. Left-wing violence, right-wing violence all seem like the same. Pulling boys out fighting, it's just the same old game. Boring politics still get us all shot. Left-wing, right-wing, you can stuff the lot. Keep your petty prejudice, I don't see the point. Anarchy and freedom is what I want.
This next track is off your new album, Take Control. So why have you chosen this track to represent your album?
It has 16 songs.
Yeah, it's quite long. It's longer than we thought it was going to be, I think.
Why was that the case?
I don't know, because we just kept writing and it just didn't feel done. And then there's like skits in it and stuff. And
people are daunted by the track listing as well, but three of the tracks are skits. So it's only a 13-song album, which isn't that long.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, in a world where people don't really get into albums anymore, I guess it's quite different for people to I know so many musicians that even in the past 4 years have gone, I'm not going to make albums anymore, I'm just going to do singles and EPs, like big musicians that like always made albums. So yeah, this album's like, we wanted to make a real album that felt like an old school, had a bit of everything on it, wasn't written for the radio, just wrote it for what we wanted to do.
And when you sat down to write the album, did you have a particular direction you wanted to take it in?
I wanted it to be heavy. Everyone said, I don't think it is as heavy as our other albums, but I think there are a few really heavy songs on it. I don't know. I think your lyrics are darker.
Yeah, maybe.
They're a bit more morbid. They're less chirpy. They're a bit like glass half full.
Yeah, I think that definitely comes across as, yeah, well, as a listener. And why do you think the message behind the album is so important in today's society?
Because of Brexit and Donald Trump. So it's just, I feel we're like more conservative than ever. Like if you look back at like the 60s and the 70s and like what people were doing and how creative they were, and now like no disrespect, but the amount of people that are just like I know someone that's done 4 courses at uni and he's just not leaving because there's such a focus on education and everyone's terrified because of how aware we all are. No one's ready to just dive in and do stuff. So it's kind of just like, do what you want, don't be scared. All of our parents want us to get degrees because they didn't, or they want, you know, all that stuff. And like this album for me was just about just take control of what you want to do. Like at the end of the day, we're all individual. You might want your child to grow up and be really successful, but if they're happier just working in a record shop, let them do it.
This is a song called Cold Hard Floor by us.
Slaves.
They don't call work for nothing.
Oh,
So this album, of course, was produced by Mike D of Beastie Boy fame. So track number 3 is your favourite Beastie Boys song. Why have you gone for this one?
Because there's so many favourites, but he told me an anecdote about this song. And I was talking to him about it, saying how much I loved it. And he told me that they wrote it before they were actually like massive. And they were trying to make out that they were a big band. So the song is sort of like, sounds like they've been on tour and they're going to stay up all night until they get to Brooklyn. But really, they were all just in like America. They're all in New York and they've never been like outside of Brooklyn or something. And they just, it's just like, I love knowing that. And yeah, it's just a wicked tune.
How did you guys end up working with him? How did it come about?
He was working with someone else on our label, and then I think he got hold of our record and liked it. And then the next thing, Laurie was on the phone to him, and we were all becoming good friends.
So quite simple then.
Yeah, it was. When an opportunity arises in front of you, it's like, it just felt quite obvious just to snatch it. Mm. And we weren't very like, we went out there just to meet him, and I'd already like convinced everyone to book us in studio time and cancel gigs, and we just sort of like, we're just like, we're going to do this. There was no pressure on us to make an album because we'd only just done the last one, but it just felt like once in a lifetime opportunity that we just had to seize.
Mm. And how do you think working with him has developed your sound?
Just like having that sort of like a third party, because it's usually just us two, but we kind of like let him in, and I think he definitely worked us in a different way to what we usually work, got a bit more out of us. This is No Sleep Till Brooklyn
by the Beastie Boys.
Kettle, but now this job is a damn good time. City to
The next track you guys have selected is a song by your favourite musical duo. So talk us through your choice with this one.
Suicide are wicked. They've been around for years.
They got bottled off stage.
They were kind of like around during the punk era, but were hated by the punks, but just carried on going and never sold out. Alan Vega died recently, rest in peace. This song's called Dream Baby Dream, and it's kind of like one of them nicer ones. A lot of their stuff's kind of almost unlistenable.
Cause lo-fi.
It's very lo-fi and just really weird and wacky, but this song's really nice. I like listening to it on the train.
So what's it like actually working and touring together? Do you ever have to take time away from each other, take a time out?
Not consciously, but I think we've both become really good at like sorting ourselves out. So mm-hmm. like if Isaac feels like he's stressing out, he'll take himself off on a walk, or I'll go sit in the corner drawing, or I'll put my headphones in. And I think we're quite, most of the time, both quite considerate about each other's needs. And so like today I just went off for a couple of hours and barely told anyone I was going, but I kind of like, you just need your space, and but we never fall out or anything.
And what is the creative process like?
Yeah, I think like our creativity is just like in a really good place where we just pick up instruments, and we usually, every time we're together, we could write something. So I kind of, it's exciting because I feel like if we had to, we could just jump back in the studio next week, record another album. Sometimes the touring actually feels like it gets in the way of the creativity because you have to keep repeating yourself, and it's not a bad thing. I love touring, but it's interesting to find out bands like Beatles only toured 4 years, split, and then did 4 years in the studio, then split up. But and I can see why bands do that, because making music is like such a buzz, but then all of it is.
Mm. So if you could introduce this next song, please.
This is Suicide with
Dream Baby Dream.
So So up next, we have the best song you've ever seen live. Why was this song so special for you?
So this song was special. It's quite a hard question when someone asks you that, because you always forget about a few gigs you've been to. But I saw Rancid at a festival, and they're like one of my favourite punk bands. And I stood at the side and I was like, oh, I'm tired, I'm just going to watch from afar and, you know, just have a chilled one. And this was the first song they played, and it's on one of their earlier albums. And he just struck the opening chords, and it was like electricity going through me, and I just ran straight into the middle of the audience. Like, and I'm not really like that as a person, so for music, like for a song to have been able to do that to me so powerfully and to remember it, I just thought it had to be that song.
Mm. So you guys kick off your UK tour this evening in Exeter's Great Hall. How are you feeling about the tour?
We actually started yesterday.
Okay.
It's our second evening. But we're feeling good. It went really well yesterday. And this venue is massive, so it's quite surreal, isn't it?
Yeah, it feels big.
It is a great venue. So how much prep goes into your live shows?
Not much, really. We just go out and do it. The prep is, like, doing it most of the time. For this tour, it was different, where we had, like, some proper rehearsals, because we had to learn stuff.
There's got
to
be a lot of credit to the people that, you know, they're, like... There's management, there's a tour manager, a lights guy, sound guy, stage manager, and that side of it, there's a lot of preparation. But in terms of us, we'll walk on and do it. But we have a lot of input into how we want the show to look, and we're still trying to get comfortable with the idea of bringing production in, because it's such a, you know, we like just getting up on stage and just playing our instruments. But yeah, there is a lot of thought that goes into it. But from a musical side, we don't practice or anything.
Mm. And do you find touring different now you're a more established band? Like, do the crowds react differently to you?
Yeah, it's just on a much larger scale. So it's just, yeah, it's mad to watch.
Mm. Changes every day, to be honest, how you feel about it.
Fabulous. Okay, so if you want to introduce this song.
This is Rancid, Let's Go.
Jimmy said he could handle this. Oh, he's from Los Angeles. Oh. Jimmy said he can handle this. Boy raised in West Los Angeles. Dad's a boy up, murder sleep. Loving a family and a wicked slick. One thing seemed very clear. Daddy's got no connections to her hair. Everything is in that demanded. What's our life if they got handed? Let the dying shores of East River. Trust is very funny, I like his tourists. Keep it poker, it's taking fun. It ain't coming, you had to find it. Looking at the sun, it gets blinded. You didn't care, you just stand. You have to sign that said, hope you're there. It ain't about a shadow like that. I like the blinded, get that bread. Let the diamonds destroy the East River. Let's go. When it shows up there. Let's go. When music's loud. Let's go. Then set up right with kids. Trust it.
The next track you've selected is a song by one of your support acts. So why have you gone for this one?
Life are our new friends, our new brothers from Hull. We played with them on our last tour and fell in love with them. And this is probably our favourite track of theirs, called Popular Music, which you'll see later on. If you come in later.
Of course, yeah. Of course, very exciting.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Just the chorus, to be able to, if you sort of like go see them, like listen to it, learn the words, and then when you're on your own in a room, try and sing the chorus yourself, it's quite impressive how he manages to do it.
Mm. Yeah,
and the lyrics are wicked. Totally off my face, I listen to popular music.
So do you get to choose your support acts then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We always do.
We get suggestions, like, you know, people that work with us, like labels go, we've got this new band coming through, do you want to, could they support you? But I'm very passionately believe you should have people that, you, like, we want to create a show, a whole atmosphere. I don't want people to turn up and watch some support act that has no place with us, so... Mm. yeah, we do. We choose everything that happens with our band. We have a say in, but that's not the same with every other band.
And are there any new bands that you guys are listening to at the moment, or are ones to watch?
Artists, I'd say Loyal Kana is going to be, well, should be huge. Life, obviously, brilliant. Shame are opening the show. They're really good.
Black Honey.
Wonk Unit aren't new, but they're like an underground punk legends. If you ever get to go and see them, you should. Yeah, there's quite a long list. Goddamn in Birmingham. Yeah, we know loads of bands.
Great list. So if you guys could introduce this next one.
This is Life with Popular Music.
Song chosen is a hidden gem, so something that you guys consider to be less well known than it should be. Why have you gone for this track?
We used to listen to it a lot in the van, I seem to recall, on long journeys. Just like, it's a really nice sort of somber, melancholy
really
track.
Makes you feel.
It's long and it just, yeah, it's good to have a little think to. It's like one of those train tracks again.
Kind of like showing two sides to us as well. So like when we're putting the list together, like it's quite conscious of not just doing a punk playlist or not just doing a hip hop playlist. So and yeah, I'm pretty sure that I'd never heard of this song, but Isaac's like really good at finding new music or unknown music. So yeah, I don't think anyone will know this, and it's just brilliant.
So back in September, you did your Back of the Van tour. Can you tell us a bit about that?
It was carnage. It was really good fun. It was hard work, but it was wicked.
And how and why did you come up with the concept of the tour?
I don't really know. We just kind of wanted to do it.
We wanted to go and do the towns that you don't get to do. Mm. The smaller places that don't have the... Like, they don't have people that want to go to gigs. I don't know, they do, but they don't have the same market as other places. And then so you get this thing where bigger bands only do a few key cities, and we just like, that's not how we started out as a band. We played wherever we could, so there was an element of adventure to it, taking our music to new places. And we love small venues and supporting them, and just something for the fans. And yeah, I don't know, something that we've been talking about doing since before we'd even had the option to. Like, it's something that Cribs did quite early on in a different sort of way. They like reenacted the last tour they did before they went on to selling like 1,000 tickets everywhere. So we didn't do that, but we were inspired by that and going back down and getting back in the van.
Sure, sure. And do you guys have any specific smaller venues that you love to go back and play at?
The Hairy Dog in Derby,
Tunbridge Wells Forum,
Hebden Bridge Trades Club, that's what it's called, isn't it? That was cool. Incredible.
Fruit and Hole was really good as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just loads. There's so many decent independent venues.
Mm, definitely. And I think also when you go to those venues, you find bands and artists that are just incredible and are in this like underground level.
And yeah, they're always the ones that always end up being like, people go, you've never been here. And we get that a lot. And it's like, well, I can show you the posters at home. I've been there twice, played there to two people. So you like, bands like us do come up from those places, and like without people going to them, and when they shut down, there's no way of us, we wouldn't have been able to make it through YouTube and stuff. So
sure,
yeah, it's really important to support them.
Definitely, definitely. So if you guys could introduce this next one, please.
I can never say that word.
It's Phosphorescent.
With Song for Zula.
Thank you. makes a fire in. All that I know love as a Cajun name. Just a killer come to call from some awful dream. Oh, and all you folks, you come to see. You just stand there in the glass looking at me. But my heart is wild and my bones are steel. And I could kill you with my bare hands if I was free.
This next track we've got is from an artist you would book to headline Slaves Fest, Dead or Alive. So why have you gone for this?
Because they're just legends, and I think when we get asked these questions, you always end up going like panicking and going Nirvana, Joy Division. But I had a bit of time to think about it, and I saw the Cribs this year at the Roundhouse, and it was just like, I don't think any band that's like come up when we were younger has maintained the level, the excitement, the performance. They're just amazing to watch, and then they're not necessarily a household name, but they've never sold out, and they're still playing. Like, they're just still, I don't know, they're just amazing, and I think they deserve to be at the top because they put on a great show.
And what do you find the difference is between playing festivals and your own gigs?
Different ball game. I feel like they're both like completely different entities.
Because it's almost like you get a bit of a sort of weird atmosphere at some festivals, because there's this whole, when you play your own gig, it's your territory. Mm-hmm. Everyone there is there for you, and everyone backstage is working with you. And then you get the two sides of festivals where you get the chance to convert other people's fans, but then you also have like bands and crews all like meeting up backstage, and it's all this like, I love both, and it's just yeah, they're very different though. You can have to work a lot harder at festivals.
Yeah. And when you guys do the festival circuits, do you slum it and fully immerse yourself in the festival vibes, or?
Sometimes.
You do. I'll confess to have always been a bit of a glamper. I'm not very good at surviving on no sleep, and whereas Isaac's a bit more of a legend.
I love a festival.
Who doesn't?
This is The Cribs.
Another Number.
Ooh. And the final track you guys have selected is a song to sum up your 2016. So why this track?
I think I had to just put it in terms of what it doesn't sum up my 2016. Well, yeah, it does. It my does sum, my sum thoughts up. Of yeah. 2016. No, I can't. I like it blows my mind the way she has put into words how I was feeling. And we were randomly like doing an interview at another radio station, and she came out and Kate came out and spotted Isaac and was like, said something beautifully poetic to you.
She said, "I've been watching your YouTube videos with joy in my heart."
And I was just, and that was just like mind-blowing as well. And then listening to that song, and it's just, she feels exactly what I feel, but just puts it into words beautifully. And then she, yeah, Kate Tempest is just 2016. Like, that song just nails it.
Mm. So if you want to do your final introduction of that song.
This is the wonderful Kate Tempest
with Don't Fall In.
We came from the four corners. We are the raw waters, the cause, the four horsemen. We drink from the water, the pores. We carry the river, the reservoir, the residue. Rising waves, sea spray, the inevitable churn and crush. Many voices in our vapors, we surge and gush. We were steam and a distant heat. We move rapid over landscape, gathering speed. Desert land, city, forest and beach. Heading for the people to sleep, ready to bleed. Unleash the torrents, come clean. Carry many lessons, let the water teach. But you better learn to swim or you'll get caught beneath. Hard rain falling on all the half-hearted, half-formed, fast-walking, half-fury, half-boredom, half-talking, half-dead from exhaustion, half-pushed, but the puddles keep forming, don't fall in. Some saw us in their tea leaves, some felt us in their knees. Most left it to the weathermen to tell them there was nothing to see. You can play dumb and ignore for so long, but we've been in the mountains getting strong. We've seen you filling up the sky with your fumes, sitting in your rooms like you're all that ever lived. Heads down to the lives of the others in your towns, running from the rains like you've never been kissed. Look, leave your possessions and funds, tell your friends that you've gone to make peace with the things you never done. Come dance in the deluge, spill like the flood. The weather vane swings, things will never change. Sing all their money men who close their eyes and pretend that this rumble must be low playing so strange. Hard rain falling on all the half-hearted, half-formed, fast-walking, half-fury, half-boredom, half-talking, half-dead from exhaustion, half-pushed, but the puddles keep forming, don't fall in. And they will run to the highest hill, consult the old books, ask the dead mystics for wisdom they don't trust. The people will flock to the garages, stockpile canisters of gasoline, tinned fish and bandages. Count the seconds between the thunder and the lightning, scared of every other body running round frightened. We can't carry on like this, you will mutter, staring with disgust at the people weeping in the gutter. Yet we made no trouble, we played by the rules. I worked double shift to get my kids through school, but you were so focused on your own little part, you went plowing on blind in the dark, no heart. Now we're not the dread storm that will end things. We're just your playful gale force friend in these end times. Come to remind you, you're not an island. Life is much broader than borders, but who can afford to think over the walls of this fortress? Of course, it's important to provide roof and floorboards for you and yours and be secure in your fortunes. But you're more than the three or four you'd go to war for. You're part of a people that need your support. And whose world is it if it belongs to these corporates? The people are left on the doorstep, doorshut, nauseous and tortured by all that they lost.
Hard rain falling on all the half-hearted, half-formed, fast-walking, half-fury, half-boredom, half-talking, half-dead from exhaustion, half-pushed, but the puddles keep forming, don't fall in.
Well, that's it for this round of the SRA Takeover Show. Thank you so much to Isaac and Laurie for coming in and answering our questions.
Thank you for having us.
Hopefully you've all managed to learn a bit about Slaves and the music that inspired them. If you can, check these guys out on their UK tour this month. But thank you so much for listening, and don't forget to tune in to the next SRA Takeover Show.
Yeah. junk food.
This is Slaves.
And we are taking over.
Student Radio.
Association podcast.